Hey everyone, welcome back to AI Special Report. I'm Skylar Monroe. I run an AI research lab at a FANG company, and this is where we break down what's actually happening in the world of AI. No fluff, no hype, just the real stuff. Big thanks to our sponsors keeping the show running. Ada, which helps clients integrate AI into their workflows. Ago Consulting, that's Ago, your go-to for silicon development consulting from AI to SOEA. And Zen Semiconductor, an umbrella company with a portfolio of silicon industry companies, including Ada for deploying AI at scale, and their Glow accelerator that makes AI models run faster and cheaper. Today, we've got a packed episode. We're talking about why China keeps giving away its best AI models and what that means for Silicon Valley, a genuinely cool breakthrough in material science using AI, neural transparency, and what it means for how we design AI systems, some big Department of Energy funding news, and a musician who just got one of the most prestigious honors in the field. Let's get into it. All right, let's kick things off with a story that honestly doesn't get enough coverage in the AI space. The intersection of music and technology, and specifically a recognition that just landed for someone who's been doing incredible work at that crossroads for decades. Todd Machover, who is a composer and researcher at MIT's Media Lab, just received the George Peabody Medal from the Peabody Institute at Johns Hopkins University. And this is not a small deal. The George Peabody Medal is the highest honor the Peabody Institute gives out. It's basically the pinnacle of recognition in the world of music. And the fact that it's going to someone who has spent his career blending music with technology tells you something really important about where the field is heading and where it's been. So who is Todd Machover? If you're not familiar, he's been at MIT's Media Lab for a long time, and he is one of those rare individuals who sits genuinely at the intersection of two worlds. He's not a technologist who dabbles in music, and he's not a musician who plays around with software. He's deeply serious about both. He developed something called Hyper Instruments back in the late 80s. These are essentially instruments augmented with technology to extend what a performer can do. Think of it as giving a musician superpowers, letting them control sonic elements that would normally be impossible for a single human to manage. That concept was genuinely ahead of its time. He also created Guitar Hero. Yes, that Guitar Hero, the game that sold tens of millions of copies and introduced an entire generation to the idea of interactive music. It grew out of work he was doing at the Media Lab on accessible music interfaces, so the reach of his work goes from concert halls and opera houses all the way to living rooms and arcade cabinets. That's a pretty extraordinary range of impact. From an AI perspective, what I find most compelling about Machover's work is how early he was thinking about the relationship between human creativity and machine systems. His research has long explored how technology can amplify human musical expression rather than replace it, and that framing is something the AI field is still wrestling with today. We talk about AI as a tool versus AI as an agent. And Machover was exploring that philosophical territory through music decades before it became a mainstream AI ethics conversation. The Peabody Medal recognition is meaningful because it signals that the broader music establishment is acknowledging that the future of the art form is deeply intertwined with technology. And as AI-generated music becomes more sophisticated, and it is getting sophisticated very fast, having people like Machover who think rigorously about what music means, what human expression means, and how technology fits into that picture is going to matter enormously. Congratulations to him, well deserved. Okay, moving on to something that is squarely in the AI application space. And it's one of those stories where if you just read the headline, you might scroll past it. But stick with me, because this is genuinely interesting. MIT researchers have developed a better way to model the behavior of metal alloys. Using AI specifically, their approach captures subtle atomic patterns in ways that previous methods couldn't, and that leads to significantly improved predictions of material properties. Let's unpack why that matters. So here's the fundamental challenge. When you're designing a metal alloy, think about the materials that go into jet engines, nuclear reactors, next-generation batteries, semiconductors. You need to understand how that material is going to behave under stress, heat, radiation, whatever the application demands. Traditionally, figuring that out meant either running really expensive physical experiments or running quantum mechanical simulations called DFT. Density functional theory, which are incredibly accurate, but computationally brutal. We're talking simulations that can take weeks on supercomputers for relatively small systems. What machine learning interatomic potentials, or MLIPS, if you want the acronym do, is essentially learn from those expensive DFT calculations and then let you run much faster simulations that approximate the quantum level accuracy. It's a proxy model, basically. You train on the hard expensive data, and then you use the learned model to do fast inference. Sound familiar? That's exactly the same paradigm we use throughout AI. Train expensive, run cheap. The problem is that previous MLIP approaches were missing something. Metal alloys have what researchers call short-range chemical order. These subtle patterns in how atoms arrange themselves locally that have a huge effect on material properties. Think of it like this. Two alloys with the same overall chemical composition can behave completely differently because of how those atoms are locally organized at the nanoscale. Previous models were basically averaging over those local patterns and losing the signal. What the MIT team did was develop an approach that explicitly captures and represents those subtle atomic arrangements. And the result is models that are much better at predicting things like mechanical strength, thermal stability, and how materials will degrade over time. The implications here are significant. Better materials modeling means faster iteration cycles for engineers. It means you can do more of your design work computationally before you ever fabricate a physical sample. That accelerates everything from aerospace components to battery chemistry to, and this is very relevant to our audience, the physical hardware that AI systems run on. Chips, heat sinks, packaging materials, all of that is materials science. And as we push AI hardware to run hotter and faster and more efficiently, having better computational tools to discover and validate new materials is a genuine accelerant. This is AI helping to improve the physical substrate that AI itself runs on, which is a kind of recursive loop that I find really compelling. Good work from the MIT team on this one. All right, now we're getting to the story that I know a lot of you have been watching closely because it has serious implications for where the global AI race is heading. The headline is, "Why is China giving away its best AI models?" And the trigger for this conversation is the arrival of Moonshot AI's Kimi K3, a Chinese AI model that is allegedly competitive with some of the best systems built by US companies. And it's being offered at a fraction of the cost. Silicon Valley has been on red alert about this, and honestly, that reaction is warranted, but maybe not entirely for the reasons people are citing. Let's start with the facts on the ground. Kimi K3 from Moonshot AI, a Chinese AI lab, has benchmark performance that puts it in the conversation with top-tier Western models, and the pricing is dramatically lower. We've seen this movie before with DeepSeek earlier this year, which caused a similar freakout when it dropped. The pattern is clear. Chinese labs are releasing very capable models, open or low cost, and the performance-to-cost ratio is genuinely alarming to US incumbents. So why are they doing this? Why give away your best work? There are a few theories, and I think they're all partially true simultaneously. First, it's a talent and mindshare play. If developers around the world build on your models, integrate your APIs, write their applications on top of your infrastructure, you've captured the ecosystem. That is exactly the playbook that made certain US cloud providers so dominant. Get developers dependent on your stack and the switching costs become enormous. Second, and this is the more geopolitically interesting angle, there's a strategic logic to undermining the economics of US AI companies. If you can commoditize the model layer, make it essentially free, you erode the revenue basis for the massive capital expenditure investments that companies like OpenAI, Anthropic, and Google are making. You're not trying to beat them at their own game. You're trying to change what the game is. Third, and I think this gets underappreciated, is the export restriction dynamics. US export controls have limited China's access to the most advanced chips, NVIDIA H100s, H200s, that whole stack. So Chinese labs have had to get very, very good at efficiency. They've had to squeeze more performance out of less hardware. And when you build that discipline into your engineering culture, you end up with models that are genuinely cheaper to run because they were designed under resource constraints from the start. Necessity breeding innovation, essentially. What does this mean for the industry? A few things. One, the model layer is getting commoditized faster than most US companies wanted. The moat is increasingly not we have the best model, it's infrastructure, it's data, it's integration, it's trust, it's the application layer. Two, the efficiency arms race is real, and it's going to reshape what hardware actually matters. Models that can run well on less compute change the calculus for semiconductor companies and cloud providers. Three, for developers and practitioners in our audience, this is actually great news for you in the short term. More capable, cheaper models mean you can build more sophisticated applications at lower cost. The competitive pressure between Chinese and US labs is a gift to anyone building on top of these systems right now. The longer-term implications are genuinely complex, and I don't think anyone has fully figured out the equilibrium here. But dismissing these Chinese models as somehow illegitimate or unsustainable would be a mistake. They are competitive, they are getting deployed, and they are changing the economics of this industry in real time. Okay, let's shift gears to some funding news that I think deserves more attention than it typically gets in the AI media cycle. MIT has had several research projects selected for funding under the US Department of Energy's Genesis mission. These projects span a pretty wide range of critical areas: natural resources, manufacturing, nuclear physics, and more. Let me tell you why I think this matters for the AI community specifically. The Genesis Mission is a Department of Energy initiative aimed at accelerating scientific discovery and addressing national priorities through advanced research. The fact that MIT projects are in this cohort is not surprising. MIT has one of the deepest benches of applied science and engineering research in the world. But the domains being targeted here are ones where AI is increasingly the enabling technology. Take nuclear physics as an example. Nuclear fusion research has been having a genuine renaissance, partly because machine learning is finally giving researchers tools to model and control plasma behavior in ways that were previously computationally intractable. We've seen results from projects like the one at MIT's own Commonwealth Fusion Systems, where AI-assisted design and control systems have been central to advances in magnet technology. And plasma stability, DOE funding going into this space accelerates that trajectory. Manufacturing is another area where the AI application story is incredibly rich. We're talking about digital twins, predictive maintenance, process optimization, quality control through computer vision, the list goes on. DOE investment in manufacturing research that incorporates AI capabilities is going to produce real-world deployable knowledge, not just academic papers. Natural resources management, whether that's energy grid optimization, climate modeling, geological survey analysis, is an area where AI's ability to process and find patterns in massive datasets is genuinely transformative. The scale of environmental monitoring data that we generate is beyond human ability to analyze manually. AI is the only tool we have that can operate at that scale. What I want to flag for our audience is the broader signal here, which is that U.S. federal investment in AI-adjacent research is ramping up across agencies. It's not just DOD and intelligence applications anymore. Energy, environment, manufacturing, fundamental science, AI is becoming the enabling layer across all of these. That means more opportunities for researchers, more government contracts for companies, and a broader base of real-world applications driving demand for the kind of AI tooling and infrastructure that many of you are building. Pay attention to where federal research dollars are flowing. It's a leading indicator of where commercial applications will emerge in 3 to 5 years. All right, last story of the day. And this one is close to my heart because it's about a fundamental challenge that I think about a lot in my own work. How do we make AI systems more transparent and understandable to the people who actually use them? MIT's assistant professor Pat Pateranudaporn has been working on something called neural transparency, and specifically a new interface that lets everyday users, not researchers, not engineers, but regular people, glimpse inside an AI's neural network before their chatbot ever says a word. Let me tell you why this is genuinely exciting and also why it's harder than it sounds. So the core problem is what we call the black box problem. Modern large language models are extraordinarily complex. We're talking hundreds of billions of parameters, attention mechanisms, transformer layers, and even the people who build these systems don't have a complete intuitive understanding of why the model produces a particular output in a particular situation. The model just generates text. And users have basically zero visibility into what's happening underneath. This matters for a bunch of reasons. When you're using an AI system for something important, medical advice, legal questions, financial decisions, you probably want to know something about how the system is approaching your question. Is it uncertain? Is it drawing on a particular type of training data? Is there something in the way the question is framed that might be biasing the response? Right now, users have no way to access any of that. They just get the output and have to take it or leave it. What Pateranudaporn's work is doing is developing interfaces that surface some of that internal state in ways that are interpretable by non-experts. The idea of showing users a glimpse of the neural network's activation patterns or uncertainty states before the model even generates a response is really interesting from a design perspective. You're essentially giving users a kind of pre-response context, a way to calibrate their trust before they receive the answer. Think about how we interact with human experts. If a doctor seems uncertain, their body language and hesitation tells you something before they even give you a diagnosis. If a financial advisor seems very confident, you might weight their advice differently than if they seem to be hedging. We have all these social and contextual cues that help us calibrate trust in real time. AI systems have historically given us none of that. Neural transparency interfaces are an attempt to create an AI equivalent of those social signals. From a technical standpoint, this is genuinely hard. Interpretability research, figuring out what's actually happening inside neural networks, is one of the most active and challenging areas in AI right now. Companies like Anthropic have whole teams working on mechanistic interpretability. The challenge is not just understanding what's happening internally, but translating that understanding into something a non-technical user can actually interpret and use. That translation layer is where Pateranudaporn's work is focused, and it's a design challenge as much as it is a technical one. The implications for AI product design are significant. If we can develop interfaces that meaningfully communicate model confidence, uncertainty, and reasoning approach to end users, we change the entire dynamic of human-AI interaction. We move from a paradigm where users either trust the AI completely or don't trust it at all, to one where users can develop calibrated, contextual trust. That's much healthier for adoption, and honestly, it's much healthier for society. Blind trust in AI systems is dangerous. No trust is wasteful. Calibrated trust is what we actually want, and better transparency interfaces are a real path to getting there. For developers and product leaders in our audience, this is a space worth watching closely. Transparency features are increasingly going to be a differentiator in AI products, especially in regulated industries where explainability is not just nice to have, but legally required. The tooling to do this is still immature, but it's developing fast, and teams that get ahead of this now will be in a much better position when enterprise buyers start demanding it as a baseline requirement. Okay, that's a wrap on today's episode of AI Special Report. We covered a lot of ground today, from music and materials science to geopolitics, federal research funding, and the future of AI transparency. I hope you walked away with some new angles on stories you might have already seen, and maybe a few you hadn't encountered yet. AI Special Report, brought to you by Ada, Ago Consulting, and Zen Semiconductor. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd also recommend checking out Unzip, another show in the Ada Podcast Network that does a fantastic job breaking down tech news for a smart, curious audience. You'll find a lot of overlap with the kind of stuff we cover here. And please, if you're not subscribed yet, hit that subscribe button. It genuinely helps us grow the show. Share it with a colleague, a founder, an engineer, whoever in your world needs to stay current on AI. Show notes with links and more details on all of today's stories are available at the link in show notes. See you next time.